we present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in A Case for Paul Temple, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge. Episode 1, in which Paul Temple hears about Valentine.
She's going to commit suicide.
Oh, God, you wouldn't get me jumping off a roof, not for all the gin in London.
How did she get up there in the first place? That's what I'd like to know.
She's only a youngster by the look of things. She can't be more than 22.
Hello? Hello, hello.
Daily Tribune.
Mrs. Ensign, give me Frank Rogers.
Hello.
Frank, this is Tony.
What the heck's happening? I thought you'd gone on your holiday.
Frank, stop acting like an Hollywood editor and listen to what I'm saying. I don't think this kid's going to commit suicide after all. There's a sporting chance.
What do you mean, not going to commit suicide? She's going to commit suicide. We've got the whole story written up. The moment she jumps, we go to press. Tony, don't you realise there have been 9 suicides this week? 9 suicides. If this girl jumps...
Just a minute. It looks to me as if she...
What is it? Well, what's happening?
This is awful. She's...
What is it? What is it? What's happening? Tony, for heaven's sake...
Okay, Frank. You can print it.
I can never understand why these places are so out of the way. Have you ever been to one before?
No. No, I'm afraid I haven't.
Always got such a confounded air of mystery about them. Don't know why, I'm sure. Just look at this place.
Know what Shakespeare said about death?
Shakespeare? Well, not much in my line, I'm afraid. Ah, here we are. Mr. Gillespie?
Aye?
My name is Weatherby. Superintendent Weatherby of the Criminal Investigation Department, New Scotland.
I know. I've been expecting you. Will you come in, please?
Thank you. Oh, this is Mr. Kelvin.
Mr. Kelvin. Charles Kelvin.
Is this the first time you've been to a mortuary, Mr. Kelvin?
Yes, it's the first time.
Hope you'll be able to identify the poor wee thing. It is the lassie you be wanting to see, the one that committed suicide.
Yes.
Well, over here, gentlemen.
Well, Mr. Kelvin, do you recognise her?
Yes, I recognise her, Superintendent. She's my wife.
By Timothy, if it isn't Scotland Yard.
Hello, Temple, how are you?
I'm fine, but I didn't expect to see you at... Come in. Come in, Sir Graham, come in.
This is a colleague of mine, Major Peters, Paul Temple.
Come in, Major.
I'm awfully glad to meet you, Mr. Temple. I've heard quite a lot about you from Sir Graham.
Sir Graham and I are old friends.
Who is it, darling?
That's my wife. She's dressing for dinner. She's been dressing since 5 o'clock. I'll give you 3 guesses.
Hello, Steve.
Sir Graham. Darling, whatever he says, the answer's no.
You're telling me. Come along, Sir Graham. Major Peters, let's go into the lounge.
You're looking very fit, Temple, although perhaps a little tired about the eyes.
Well, your very good health, Sir Graham.
Thank you, Temple. Skål.
Skål. Mm.
And how's the son and heir?
Oh, he's fine. He's down at Bramley Lodge at the moment with Nanny. Steve and I are staying in town for 3 or 4 days.
You're dining out tonight, I take it?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was just going to get dressed. Excuse the dressing gown. It's my wife's idea of what the popular novelist should wear. Strictly between ourselves, I've never been to China.
I don't think you've met Major Peters before.
No, I don't think I have.
Peters was attached to the intelligence people during the war. He's just been transferred to our special branch at Scotland Yard.
Oh, I see.
Rather a square peg in a round hole, I'm afraid, sir.
You'll settle down.
Would you like a cigar, Sir Graham, or...
No, I'm... I don't think so, thanks.
Don't you think it might be rather a good idea if we came straight to the point, sir?
That's always a good idea, Major.
Just after 3:30 this afternoon, a girl committed suicide. Her name was Myra Kelvin. She threw herself off the roof of...
Yes, it's in the papers.
That suicide was the 10th. The 10th suicide to take place in London during the past week. Doesn't that strike you as being particularly significant?
Significant?
Yes.
I don't think so, Sir Graham.
Mr. Temple, 10 people have committed suicide. Yet you don't think that...
Major Peters, I am by profession a novelist. I write, for my sins, detective novels. At the present moment, I'm engaged on a new opus significantly entitled Over My Dead Body. My contract stipulates 80,000 words. I have written precisely 2,354. If I have no interruptions, if I am left entirely alone, if I work industriously from 9 in the morning until 9 at night, there is a remote possibility that by the middle of next September I shall have completed...
In other words, you're not interested.
In other words, I'm not interested.
Temple, listen. For the past 3 months, Major Peters, Superintendent Weatherby and myself have been investigating a case known to us at Scotland Yard as the Granger Affair. 3 months ago, a girl called Leslie Granger committed suicide. There was an inquest, and it was discovered that Leslie Granger had been taking drugs, cocaine. She'd been getting the cocaine, presumably, from a secret source, from a man or woman known to her quite simply as Valentine.
Valentine.
2 days after Leslie Granger committed suicide, a girl called Marjorie Barton died under mysterious circumstances. Once again, there was an inquest and an autopsy.
She'd been taking drugs?
Yes.
Cocaine?
No, in this particular instance, heroin.
Go on.
Every single person that's committed suicide during the past 3 months has, without exception, been a drug addict.
Are you suggesting...
I'm suggesting that there exists in the West End of London at the present moment an organisation, a secret organisation, trafficking exclusively in dangerous drugs. That organisation is growing, Temple. It's growing so rapidly that unless we can put our fingers on the person who controls it,
Unless we can find this mysterious Mr. Valentine, there's going to be a new crime wave in this country. A crime wave quite without precedent.
Believe me. That's no exaggeration.
Sir Graham, tell me, are you convinced, quite convinced, that the people who committed suicide were in contact, in direct contact, with Valentine?
Yes. Yes, we're quite convinced of that, Temple.
And there's another point, Mr. Temple, just in case you're interested. We found a compact on Marjorie Barton, a powder compact. Scribbled on the back of the compact was apparently a person's name. The name was Simon Lee.
Simon Lee?
Yes. Go on, Peters.
Early this evening, Superintendent Weatherby interviewed a young man called Charles Kelvin.
He's the husband of the girl that committed suicide this afternoon. As a matter of fact, he identified the body.
Yes.
During the course of cross-examination, Kelvin admitted that his wife had been, well, difficult, highly strung, emotional. On 2 occasions, during an hysterical outburst, he remembers quite distinctly that she repeated the name Simon Lee.
Did the name have any particular significance, so far as Kelvin himself was concerned?
No, I'm afraid not. He's just as puzzled as we are. He's never even heard of anyone called Simon Lee.
Hmm. Well, you seem to have an interesting case on your hands, Sir Graham. I only wish I had the time to...
Temple, this business can't be treated lightly. If this organisation develops...
But it mustn't be allowed to develop, Sir Graham.
I'm afraid our methods, orthodox methods are not always the best in a case of this kind.
You mean...
I mean, to put it frankly, that, in my opinion, this is a case for Paul Temple.
Well, what do you want me to do exactly?
Don't you know? We want you to catch Valentine, Mr. Temple.
Just like that.
Well, after all, according to all accounts, you caught the knave, the front page man, Z4, the Marquis, and even Rex.
What do you say, Temple?
What can I say, Sir Graham?
You mean...
I mean... Let's all have another glass of sherry.
Your change, sir.
That's all right, waiter. Keep the change.
Well, thank you, sir. I hope everything was satisfactory.
Everything's been fine, Luigi.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, shall I fetch the car?
Where is it?
It's in the mews just round the corner.
No, it's all right, darling. I'll walk round with you.
Okay.
Paul?
Yeah, Steve?
You still haven't told me.
Told you what, darling?
You still haven't told me what Sir Graham wanted.
Don't you know what he wanted?
What do you mean?
Darling, I'm quite convinced that you had your ear glued to the lounge door from the moment Sir Graham arrived, so there's not the slightest necessity for me to tell you.
Beast! What a horrible suggestion.
Well, didn't you?
Most certainly not.
Didn't you?
Well, I may have overheard a little of the conversation, of course, but... yes, I did listen, so there.
So there. Steve, don't look so serious.
What are you going to do?
What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to finish the novel I'm writing.
But you heard what Sir Graham said.
Of course I heard.
If this organisation is allowed to develop...
But it mustn't be allowed to develop. What's Sir Graham doing? And all the bright little boys at Scotland Yard. Good gracious me. If they're going to send for Paul Temple at the least...
Paul, you know as well as I do that if Sir Graham didn't consider this matter of paramount importance, he would never...
I say, look here. Do you want me to get mixed up in this business?
Oh, darling, of course I don't.
Well, what's all the fuss about? I'm not going to get mixed up in it. Don't be so silly, darling. I can sit back with my feet on the mantelpiece the same as the next fellow.
Of course, if you feel like that, Paul.
You bet your bottom dollar I feel like that. Yes, sir. We're a pretty staid married couple these days, Steve, and don't you forget it. Why, believe me, Steve, the thought of getting mixed up in anything so exciting, so dangerous as the Rex affair positively appalls me. Positively appalls me, old girl. Why, I... Oh, waiter, my bill.
You've paid the bill.
What? Oh, yes. Yes, I have. Darling, do you know what I said to Sir Graham? Do you know what I said to Sir Graham when he had the audacity to suggest that this was a case for Paul Temple?
No. What did you say?
I said... Sir Graham, I said, I'd like to think it over.
Yes. Yes, that's what I thought you said. Come along, my dear. Let's get our things.
Do you an umbrella, sir?
No, just an overcoat.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Oh, hello, Superintendent.
Beg your pardon? Good evening, Mr. Temple. Afraid I didn't recognise you, sir.
Are you just arriving?
No. As a matter of fact, I'm just leaving. Ah, good evening, Mrs. Temple.
You remember Superintendent Weatherby?
Yes, of course.
Can we give you a lift, Weatherby? My car's just round the corner.
No, I don't think so. Thanks all the same, sir. But I'll stroll along to the corner with you. I hear that Sir Graham and Major Peters paid you a visit this evening.
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, they did.
I don't know whether they managed to interest you in this extraordinary...
I'm afraid I told Sir Graham more or less what I'm telling you, Superintendent.
Well, generally speaking, I don't welcome outsiders. You know that, Mr. Temple. In fact, my opinion of amateur detectives is nobody's business. But I must confess, after the way you handled the Rex affair...
I had a certain amount of luck over the Rex affair.
We all need a certain amount of luck, sir. That goes without saying.
Where's the car, darling?
Hmm? Oh, it's just down here, Steve, in the mews. Stay with the superintendent. I shan't be a minute.
How long are you staying in town, Mrs. Temple?
Oh, only for 2 or 3 days. I suppose by rights I really ought to be down at Bramley Lodge. But I promised my husband that we'd spend a few days.
Why?
Mr. Temple, don't move.
What are you doing? What are you doing hiding in my car? Who are you and...
Mr. Temple, please listen to me.
What is it? Are you hurt?
Yes. It's my arm. But listen, I want to tell you something about Simon Lee.
Simon Lee? Why? Oh, dash, she's fainted. Weatherby!
I quite see your point of view, Mrs. Temple. On the other hand, if Scotland Yard feel justified in consulting you...
Weatherby!
What is it?
Why? It looks to me as if...
Don't you hear me shouting?
What is it? What's the matter, darling?
There's a girl in my car. I think she's been hurt and she...
She what?
I think she was hiding there.
Hiding? In your car?
Yes.
Is she badly hurt?
I don't know.
Well, come along. Let's have a look at her. Well, where is the car?
It's almost at the end of the mews. Here we are.
Well, where is she?
Darling, there's no one here.
But she was here a moment ago.
Well, there's no one here now, Paul.
Is this some kind of a joke, Mr. Temple? Because
of course it isn't a joke. She was here, lying on the back seat.
Well, she's not here now.
But the girl was in pain. She couldn't have moved without... Look here, this is a cul-de-sac. She didn't pass us coming down to the car. So she must be still here in the mews.
But there's nowhere for her to hide. There isn't a doorway, a building, or anything. It's just a brick wall. Unless she's standing in the shadow over there at the bottom of... Wait here.
Paul, you did see her, didn't you?
Of course I saw her. She spoke to me. She said...
She said what, darling?
She said... I want to tell you about Simon Lee.
Simon Lee?
Yes.
But that doesn't make...
Shh, here's Weatherby.
Well, there's no one there, Mr. Temple.
Are you sure?
Positive. There just isn't anywhere for the girl to hide. Why, a mouse couldn't hide itself in this mews.
Well, she's not in the car. She didn't pass us. She's not at the bottom of the mews. There's nowhere for her to hide, so...
So what?
So I'm rather afraid that she must have just vanished into thin air, Superintendent. Come along, Steve. Jump in the car. We'll go back to the flat.
Exasperating. I just can't understand you.
Can't you, my sweet?
You've been grinning like a Cheshire cat ever since we left the superintendent.
Cheshire cat? I resent that. I most strongly resent it.
The most extraordinary thing happens right under your very nose, something which completely bewilders you, and yet...
What do you mean completely bewilders me? Who said it completely bewildered me? You speak for yourself, Mrs. Temple.
But it must have bewildered you. The girl disappeared. Literally disappeared from right
under... Right under my very nose. Yes, darling, you said that before. Gosh, I'm hungry. I could eat the hind legs off a turkey. I say, is there any of that cold chicken left in the... It's all right, I'll take it.
Hello?
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 Hello. Now it's your turn.
Who is that, please?
This is Mayfair 7864.
I want to speak to Paul Temple.
This is Temple speaking.
Mr. Temple, my name is Baxter. Sheila Baxter. I don't suppose you've heard of me, Mr. Temple, but please listen to what I'm saying. Please listen most carefully. It's very urgent.
Well?
Don't use the light. Don't use the light in the bedroom, Mr. Temple.
What's that? What did you say?
I said, don't use the light. Don't use the light in the bedroom, Mr. Temple.
What do you mean, don't use the... I say, hello? Hello? Hello! Well, I'm damned.
What is it? What's the matter?
Well, I don't know what to make of that, I'm sure.
What happened?
Well, a woman's voice said, my name is Baxter, Sheila Baxter. I don't suppose you've heard of me, Mr. Temple, but please listen to what I'm saying. And then she said...
And then she said what, darling?
And then she said, don't use the light. Don't use the light in the bedroom, Mr. Temple.
Which bedroom?
Well, I suppose she means our bedroom.
What an extraordinary thing to say.
Yes.
Darling, that girl on the telephone, you don't think it was the girl who...
No, it wasn't the girl in the mews, I'm sure of that. Oh. Stay here, Steve. I'm just going to take a look in the bedroom.
No, I'll come with you, darling.
Well, everything seems to be all right.
I don't know. We can't see very well.
No, don't touch the switch. Wait a minute. Stand over there near the bed.
What are you going to do?
Don't move now, Steve.
Paul, what are you going to do?
It's all right. Now, just keep still. I've got an India rubber in my pocket. I'm going to knock the switch on with the end of the rubber. Now, stand still.
Oh! Paul! Paul, are you...
It's all right, darling. It's all right. Take it easy. By Timothy. That's ingenious, if you like.
What was it?
A revolver was wired up to the electric current, and as soon as I touched the switch, the revolver... By Timothy, it's lucky for me that revolver was a bit cockeyed.
Where is the gun?
It's over there, near the bed lamp.
But, Paul, that must have been fitted up after we left the flat tonight. After
Sir Graham left with Major Peters, yes.
Darling... Don't let's get mixed up in this business. Whatever happens, don't let's get
mixed up in it. By Timothy, we seem to be in it up to the neck, as far as I can make out. You know, Steve, somebody must have known that Sir Graham was coming here. That trick with the revolver was a warning. A warning...
A warning not to interfere.
Yes.
Paul, you don't think that mysterious person, the person Sir Graham called Valentine, planted the girl in your car and... And then deliberately? I don't know. Supposing you did decide to investigate this business, then...
Then what?
Well, what would be the first thing
I should do? The first thing I should do, darling, is to have a nice little chat with our old friend Snooker Riley.
Snooker Riley?
Yes. What Snooker doesn't know about the dope racket is nobody's business.
Is that the man that was mixed up in the Norwich case? The funny little cop?
Yes, he lives by himself on a houseboat over on the other side of Silverton.
On a houseboat?
Yes. Why, what are you thinking?
Oh, I was just thinking. I've never been on a houseboat.
There we are, sir. That's Snooker Riley's old tub.
Do you think you can pull alongside, Sergeant?
Sure. Hold on, Mrs. Temple.
I certainly will.
I'm very much obliged to you, Sergeant, for taking all this trouble.
Only too glad to be of service, sir. Shall I pick you up in 5 or 10 minutes?
I wish you would, Sergeant.
It's a pleasure, sir. Snooker! Snooker! Where the devil is he?
Jump to it, you son of a gun. You've got visitors.
Visitors? What the devil do I want with visitors at this time of the... Oh, Lummy! Oh,
hello, Snooker.
Oh, God bless my soul. If it isn't Paul Temple.
How's the world been treating you, Snooker? Still in the dope racket?
Mr. Temple, please. Not in front of the sergeant. Hello. There's a piece of homework.
The piece of homework, as you so delicately put it, Snooker, is my wife.
Oh.
Mr. Riley?
I take it you're still a bachelor.
Well... Temporarily, Mr. Temple, as you might say. Temporarily. Here, give us your hand, Mrs. T. I'll give you a leg up to the cabin.
Thank you.
Keep her steady, Sarge. Keep her steady. Yes, I've had this old tub for 12 years or more. Gets a bit monotonous at times, of course, but it's a cheap way of living, and, well... I never was the one for gadding about, was I, Mr. T?
No, Snooker, you were never one for gadding about. Snooker, tell me...
Yes, Gov?
Tell me, have you heard of a woman called Sheila Baxter?
Sheila Baxter?
No.
Not that I know of, why?
I wondered, that's all. I take it you've heard of Valentine.
Valentine? Yes, I've heard of Valentine, but...
But what?
I don't know anything about him. Nothing at all, see? I don't know whether Valentine's a man or a woman. Look here, what's the game? You're the second bloke what's asked me about Valentine tonight. The second bloke what's...
Oh, who was the first?
A chap called Kelvin. Charles Kelvin.
Kelvin?
Yes. Do you know him? A foreign sort of bloke. Sounded to me a bit like a Jerry.
When did you see Mr. Kelvin?
About an hour ago. He came out here on his own. Borrowed a boat from a chap over at Silverton.
And he asked you about Valentine?
Yes. Yes, he did. And I told him what I'm telling you. I know nothing about Valentine. Nothing.
All right, Snooker. All right.
Keep your nose out of this Valentine business, Mr. Temple. Take my advice and keep your nose out of it.
Snooker, tell me, did you offer Mr. Kelvin a drink?
A drink? Why, no.
I noticed the two glasses on the side over there.
Oh, oh, that was O'Hara, a pal of mine. Dropped in about 6 o'clock tonight. Regular old sea dog.
O'Hara?
Oh, yeah, maybe you know him.
No, I can't say I do.
He's a card. You'd like O'Hara, Captain Michael Sean Doherty O'Hara. Skipper of the Simon Lee.
The Simon Lee?
You have been listening to the first episode of A Case for Paul Temple, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Jimmy Chisholm, Richard Greenwood, Melody Grove, Lucy Patterson, Greg Powery, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Rayner.